Today on Real Radio.
And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And I'm looking at a whole lot of people that fit that verse right here, right now. God says, "Blessed are you." But that doesn't mean that we have to not contend against doubt. Our human nature's prone to doubt.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that examines and applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. Any actual believer who takes his faith seriously will most inevitably have certain doubts about its many truths. Sometimes struggling with an issue will drive us back to the scriptures. That's good. But if doubt occupies too much of our Christian experience, that isn't so good, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in this presentation called The Discipline of Doubt.
My calling in life is quickly becoming one of the most dangerous callings you can have. I got the Supreme Court against me. I got lunatics, Islam's against me, trying to shut pastors down. And a lot of pastors are just going to be very happy to just shut her on down. I think some need to be shut down with the banana stuff they're teaching. But we're Christians. And Thomas isn't there. You say, "Well, man, I kind of feel like Thomas." Well, cheer up. There's some good news coming. By the way, we've all been a Thomas from time to time. It's fun to beat up on him, but we're also taking a couple jabs at ourselves. And so he wasn't there. Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, "And the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We've seen the Lord.' And he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print, that is the hole of the nails, and put my finger into the hole of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" And after 8 days, look at verse 26. Can I add this? After 8 days of sheer misery and torture, because doubt will do that to you, my friend, his disciples were gathered again inside. Look, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst of them. How cool is that? Lock the doors. We're hiding out. And all of a sudden, whoosh, there's Jesus. And you could see, like, you know, Peter and Andrew, told you, cool, huh? Boom, knuckles. Yes, awesome. Remember last week? This is great. Thomas was like this. Don't you love him? Think about it. The door being shut, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, "Peace to you." I bet he was looking at Thomas when he said it. And then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Translation, don't be full of doubt. Huh? "And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" And I'm looking at a whole lot of people that fit that verse right here, right now. God says, "Blessed are you." But that doesn't mean that we have to not contend against doubt. Our human nature's prone to doubt, but we must confront it head on. Also, because mankind is under a demonic curse. All of mankind is under a demonic curse. This world system, and this unbelieving world is against having faith in God. Will you mark that in your head? This worldly system is against having faith in God. Now watch this. This world is under demonic influence. If I were to say to you, have faith in gods, all kinds, pick one. You know the world would go, right on. Do you know if I were to announce, oh, the earth is our God? Do you know the world would say, that is so cool? Look, you guys, we all know enough about the Bible and spirituality, which could be dangerous, that we could go to Malibu right now. And we could start a thing. We could get tambourines and we could sing on PCH. And Tom Cruise would pull over and say, what's up, man? What are you doing? What's going on? Shirley MacLaine would go, stop the car, stop the car. What are you guys, we are worshiping the moon and the sea and the trees. And they would say, oh my gosh, where do I sign up? Is this not true? The moment you say, I believe in the one true living God, the God who's created all things, and Him alone is salvation, hope, and eternal life. And He so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to communicate His love to us by dying on the cross. And having been resurrected from the dead, we have the assurance of eternal life for all those who put their trust in Him. And people would go, arrest this man, right? Why is that the case? Everybody talks about tolerance, but they will not tolerate the person who says Jesus is Lord. That just drives Caesar nuts. It always has, it always will. Why? Because it's spiritual, and this world is under demonic power. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that's faith, opposite doubt, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently, do you want to get close to God? Do you really want God in control of your life? Then listen, it ain't gonna happen. It will not happen unless you, my friend, determine tonight to diligently seek Him. It's not that He can't do anything. He could sprinkle pixie dust over your life and you would automatically follow God. He's not interested in that. That's like telling someone to tell me you love me. You know, every night you come home, I want you to tell me you love me. All right. Who can't do that? But when somebody comes home and says, man, I couldn't wait to get home to tell you that I love you. Hot dog, that's awesome. You know what I'm talking about? That's our God. If you love Him, pursue Him. But we're under a demonic sway in this world. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. The Bible says in 1 John 5:18, the scripture says, and we know that whoever is born of God, born again, does not sin. The word means does not practice sin. Doesn't mean you're sinless. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one, Satan, does not touch him. Isn't that good news? Some of you having like bad dreams, freaking out, think Satan's living in your house. Are you a Christian? The devil cannot touch you. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway. The word in Greek means cloud cover, fog, a low-level ceiling. The whole world is under a cloud of the wicked one. Think about that for a moment. Any intellectuals in here right now, think about how true that statement is. The Bible says this world is under a low-level cloud of demonic influence and persuasion, and it's a sway. It causes the world to think a different or strange way than the way God thinks and what God would have you to think. Does that not define this world? That's exactly what we see in life. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, look at verse 3 and 4. Paul says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Wow, listen to this. Whose minds the God of this age, little g, Satan, he's the one presiding over what's going on around here. I mean, not here right now, not here. The world. the god of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest or unless the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Satan is that low-level cloud blanketing the world, trying to keep back the light of God. Think about that. It's a very graphic picture. 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Little children, it is the last hour. I love John. He doesn't say it's the last days. He gave up on that. He's saying it's the last hour. How close are we? It's the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Charles Spurgeon said, when a lunatic leaves your church, don't ask him to come back. Let him go. He said, that's a blessed subtraction when a goofball goes. Isn't that great? I love that. But that's not what we're here to talk about right now. It's this verse. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be revealed or manifested, that none of them were of us. Verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit, mind you. And you know all things. The word means you discern things. Isn't that beautiful? God has delivered you and I from this demonic curse. Point number two, the discipline of doubt is this. Doubt must be defeated at all costs. Doubt. Again, Charles Spurgeon says, doubt is having faith in the devil. Doubt must be defeated at all costs. A question was asked, why not doubt your doubts? Think about that. That same quote went on to say, believe your beliefs and hope in God. Think about that. What do you believe? Is it biblical? Are your beliefs founded upon the Bible? Then believe in them. If you've got strange beliefs, don't believe in them. If your belief is biblically rooted, believe in them. Listen to this in the reverse. Why not doubt your doubts? If you doubt your faith, then why not doubt your doubts? Oh, because what? Because they play so strong on your emotions. Doubts do. They must be defeated at all cost. Doubts destroy. It terrifies a little child, doubt. When little children think their mom and dad are breaking up, that doubt causes them to have stomach problems. They get sick, they vomit, they have diarrhea, they can't focus at school. They're terrified because two people who name the name of Jesus can't get along. And listen, they think they're going to get away out of it, okay? Oh, we'll split the house. Oh, we'll divide the cars. We'll cut the boat in half. Listen, that's all trash. It's the little one who pays the price. It ruins that kid for life because two people won't be Christians. Doubt destroys, and it's got to be defeated at all cost. Because listen, because doubt robs us of our spiritual reality. Doubt will rob us of our spiritual reality. Mark these verses down. You know this one very well. John 10:10. The thief, reference to Satan, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Our spiritual reality. Doubt will rob us of it. Spiritual reality. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Now when he, Jesus, got into a boat, his disciples followed him. I love this. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves and Jesus was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him up. And they said, save us, we're perishing. Another gospel says, save us, don't you care? Have you ever thought or said things like that? Why? Doubt. Listen, when we're sick, I mean sick, when we're hurting, guess who knocks on the door? But doubt. Doubt says things like this. if your God is with you, you know, then where is he right now in all this pain? Oh, if God's with you, how could you get in this car accident? If God is good, then why is this happening to you? You ever hear thoughts like that in your head? If you listen very, very carefully with the right heart, you will hear it this way. So. Where is God now in this situation? Didn't he speak to Eve in the same tone of voice? Come on, Eve. Take a bite. If he can start to plant that seed of doubt in you and you nurse it, Yeah, that's right. Where is God? In fact, I just watched a Christian television station that said I should be rich and never sick. And so right now I'm poor and vomiting, and God must have left me. Did you know that's what that doctrine does to people? Because it's from Satan. Destroys people. So they woke him up. We're going to die. We're perishing. I love his answer. Why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith? What are you guys doubting for? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And they all, by the way, you keep reading, it's very cool. They all freaked out. This is the hand of God, of course. Our spirituality, my friend, listen, doubt will rob us of this. We don't see God in stuff. When we don't see God in our situation 24/7, this is the greatest manifestation and proof of our doubt is complaining. There's nothing worse. I don't know why. I can't believe. This is ridiculous. How come? Every one of those human-based, carnal responses that come from us are literally challenging the very authority and the ability of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Discipline of Doubt, a hard look at the dangers of allowing doubt to occupy too much of our Christian experience. The Discipline of Doubt, part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, of which we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, this Disciplines of Life series was delivered by Pastor Jack on Wednesday nights and concluded earlier this year. And in light of that, we bring to you this invitation.
This is David Jay with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills. And there's something real exciting going on the Wednesday nights around here. Pastor Jack, I was just pulling into the parking lot here at the church to get together with you, and I noticed a big vinyl sign on the side of the building. It said, it had a hot button word on the sign. It said worldview. Tell me what's going on around here.
It's the worldview series. That's what's out there, and that's what's happening here at Calvary right now on Wednesday nights. And we've had our first gathering together on the topic, Introduction to the Worldview Series, and frankly, it went extremely well. We saw people, in fact, first-time visitors from the local university, and they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And that's exactly what we want to achieve.
Well, worldview is kind of a buzzword, isn't it? It's a popular word that carries a whole lot of meaning, especially for Christians. Tell me about the Wednesday night series here at Calvary Chino Hills.
Worldview series, the term worldview has gotten very popular in the church in the last 5 to 7 years, because what it means is, the word is rooted actually in the Germanic language. It means to look at your world around you, to observe and to conclude or to establish a life or a decision based upon the world you live in. Worldview means that you conduct yourself, you think in such a way, and you act out your life based upon what and how you view the world around you.
All right, I'm going to cheat a little bit because as you and I were chatting before we fired up the microphones, you were saying that we as Christians need to understand that we need to make our decisions using the Bible as our filter, if you will.
Yeah, there's a temptation, and I think it has reached, in my opinion, epidemic proportions in the church today where people will bifurcate their lives. What I mean by that is they'll go to church on Sunday, right. It's all Jesus, yeah. It's all God, it's wonderful for an hour and a half. Right. But come Sunday afternoon or Monday morning or Thursday night, there is this division. Far too many people today think that they can be following Jesus for an hour and a half a week, right, and leave him out the rest of their days and the rest of their life. And that's not the case. To have a biblical worldview is to include the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, the Holy Spirit who's at work in your life in every moment of your life, that he wants to be the Lord of all.
Okay, so for example, with our presidential election going on right now, the first thought in my mind is, what do I think? But what you're saying as a Christian that I should be thinking, what does the Bible say about my thinking or the way I should be thinking?
Exactly. There is no such division in the Christian's life that there's some area that is sacred or secular. Not for the Christian.
I see.
The Christian is to be engaged in all aspects of life because, for example, a politician might declare that abortion is a political issue. Right. Well, my Bible teaches me it's a spiritual issue.
I get it.
A politician might declare that marriage now is a political issue. No. My Bible says that that is a spiritual issue. All of these things affect three things. Number one, it affects the political, it affects the moral, right, and it affects the religious aspects of our lives. The Christian is to live his Christianity out in all areas. You know, Paul made that very clear in Acts chapter 17 when he came to Athens, Greece,
right, uh-huh,
recognized that the Greeks were worshiping all these gods that they knew of, but they had a pedestal set up to the unknown God. And Paul used that opportunity to insert there to the way that the Athenians thought that this God that you've missed is the God who is inserting his life. In fact, in verse 28, he says that it is this God in whom we live, we move, and have our being. This is the total encasement of the Christian life by the Word of God, the Bible, the activity and works of the Holy Spirit, engaging the culture through the believer. That's the moment that you and I are alive, David. That's what God would have us to do.
Look, I raise my hand to plead guilty, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do too. I don't necessarily default to a Christian worldview consciously or subconsciously for that matter. And in this series, what you're saying is, let's get to that point where we govern our lives with the biblical worldview.
You got it. There should be no area in which the Christian, frankly, would be ignorant about.
Pastor Jack, I've seen you excited in the past. You're excited about this, aren't you?
I'm excited about this because I love practical Christianity.
Right, right.
And so because of that, this series, you know, Davey, I tell you, four young men came up to me in the courtyard just the other night after the teaching. They're on a class project. They came to interview the pastor of some church, whatever church they could find that's close to the house they would go. Well, lo and behold, the topic in the event, the evening, so challenged their way of thinking that, frankly, we stood out in the courtyard and talked for a good period of time. They were dumbfounded that Christianity could be this practical. And I love that.
I love that too, Pastor Jack. And you and our listening audience, you're going to love it too. So here's the deal. Here's the invitation for you. We would love to have you join us for this life-changing worldview series, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Join us on the web for the live broadcast on hischannel.com. That's 7 o'clock Pacific, Wednesday nights on hischannel.com. You can also watch the series at your own pace at our website, calvaryCCH.org. Click on Media and then on the Media Center. So there you have it. We'd be honored if you'd join us on the web for the live teaching at hischannel.com, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Or catch the Worldview series when you can at calvaryCCH.org. Don't miss it. That's calvaryCCH.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by by Real Radio.